Okay, so last time we were discussing the, we had discussed the, how long, again, we discussed the Isser of eating Basar B'Chalav together, the other two Isurim that go along with it in terms of the Isser Bishul and the Isser Hana, when we're dealing with the real Basar B'Chalav, right, taking kosher meat, cooking it together with kosher milk. But we just said that midrabanan, any form of eating them together is going to be prohibited, and that even if they aren't cooked together, that seemed to be why it is that we wait between after fleishiks before having milchiks. Again, it was a machlokas rishonim, which of the what the exact reason was. But either way, it was because there's some sort of remnant, whether either in ta'am and taste, or perhaps stuck between the teeth of basar that's there, and then if you're going to eat it, you're going to end up eating basar and gvina, basar and chalav together. Last time we discussed the opposite order, right? I think that's what we discussed last time. The gvina, and then if you eat the cheese first, and then the basar afterwards, how long do you need to wait? And the Gemara basically made it sound like you don't need to wait very long at all. You just basically need to make sure that your mouth is clean and that your hands are clean. And then we decided to mention the Zohar. The Zohar says that you should not eat meat and milk in the same meal. And you should not eat it in the And then the last thing we left off with was the hard cheese. Right, which is again the Rama said that that gvina kasha, hard cheese, is treated the same way that meat would be treated. Why? Presumably for the same reasons. You have either the taste or the fattiness or something which lingers, and therefore you have to wait for the same amount of time that you would wait for after meat after having the hard cheese. Right? The question that we left off was, which I didn't have really get a better resolution to over the course of the week. I didn't exhaust all the possibilities, and somebody suggested a particular one Rav to speak to. I did not have a chance to speak to him. But was if you have a little bit, again, we discussed the kula of the Yad Yehuda, that if it's mixed in, or if it's melted, or certainly if it's both, then there's no need to wait afterwards. So if you have an eggplant parmesan, or you have a lasagna or something like that, and one of the ingredients, or even I believe some of the cheese mixes that some pizza stores use has a little bit of this aged parmesan mixed in. If it's all melted together, then there is no need to wait afterwards. The suffix or question mark that we left at the end is, you have a little bit grated onto a salad, do you have to wait after that or not? So the first person that I mentioned it to said, of course you have to, what's the question? I started trying to explain. He wasn't even hearing my where I was coming from. So we're going to leave that still as we're going to see if we can find others that think in the same ways that I think. And again, the only svara that I found maybe was, I noticed earlier today when I was looking at this, was in the Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, he does write, if you swallow hard cheese without chewing it, you swallow it without chewing it, Las gvina kasha palat. Look at the footnote. So in the footnote, he quotes from the Yad Yehuda as well that you would not have to wait. And then he quotes many that argue. Why would you argue on that? Because
there's no time in your mouth.
So, well, that's why you would say it. That's why you would agree. Why would you argue? Because it might depend on the reason with Rashi and the Rambam, right? That was exactly one of the nafkaminas on the fleishik side that we had, was if you swallowed it, if you had like the chicken broth or something, if it has to do with the fattiness, then maybe it's still there. Now, we could still maybe argue that if it's just a little bit grated in, it's mixed in with other things. So, I don't know, are you chewing it? I don't know. As I mentioned last time, I don't eat any of these things. That's not a religious thing. It's a taste thing.
It's not the lettuce, you're chewing the lettuce.
So you guess you are chewing it. Okay, so this kula, so we still don't have a kula. Fine. So I'm still going to work on it this week. Okay. So let's pick up on page 78 here in the Tzurva book. If you don't have it, it'll be easy to follow along. So again, a quote now from the Mishnah and Chulin on in the 8th Perek. It says as follows. And again, it's the same line of thinking, which is that because we normally eat meat and cheese separately, then there is a grave concern about anything which will potentially bring them closer together. So it says the Mishnah, Tzorer adam basar ugvina b'mit pachas achas uvilvad shelo yiyu nogin zebazeh. You are allowed to bind meat and cheese together in one handkerchief as long as they don't come into contact with each other. And the question is, what's the issue? So first of all, what are we talking about? Now, we normally think of items that are, you know, getting basar and gvina, they're never close to each other unless they're in their wrapper, right? Are we talking about putting a salami in the same bag in the supermarket as a package of cheese? Lechora not, right? Now, I've seen people that are very particular. I know in some of the stores they train the checkout people to separate the two. I will see later on. I'm not sure that there's any basis in halacha for that. But again, the more careful everybody wants to be, no problem with it. But what are we talking about? What is our concern over here? So again, it sounds like, but if they would touch, you would have a problem, right? You can put them together and wrap them together in some way. Ubilvad, as long shlo yunogin zebaze, as long as they don't touch each other. So the Gemara asks, v'chinogeya zebaze mayhave. Who cares if they touch? What difference does it make? Tzonein b'tzonein who? Oh, they're both cold. Now, the Gemara here threw out a concept that we're not so familiar with yet. We're familiar with it a little bit in that, in terms of the effect of temperature. So we've discussed the effect of temperature when it comes to bishul, right? That bishul is going to be affected only if you have a certain level of heat. And we discussed it yet. So let us bone some of those temperatures, I think, in the first go-around. We're going to discuss later, Mirtz Hashem, in general, when things are hot in the kitchen and the transfer of taste. But basically, what the Gemara seems to be saying here is that they're just touching and they're just cold, then what concern do we really have? So what does the Gemara answer? Amar Abaye, Nihi deklipa lo boi, hadacha mi lo boi. You don't need to have klipa. What is klipa? So again, klipa is what the Tanya talks about in terms of the negative forces in the world, but that's not what we're talking about here. Klipa that we're talking about here is a thin layer. Klipa literally means a peel. So what's Abaye saying? Is that the kasha of the Gemara was if there is heat, then there should be some sort of penetration of the flavor from one to the other. And if that's true, you have to figure out how far do they go into one another, and then you're going to have to chop away however much that distance is going to be. If you assume that it goes, a centimeter, then you'd have to cut a centimeter away. But it's cold. It's cold. And if it's cold, how is the taste of one going to get into the other one? So Elamai says the Gemara, okay, but hadacha milobai, you have to at least rinse it off. Meaning, on the surface, if you have a piece of meat that touches a piece of cheese, then presumably some of each goes onto the other. It's not going to go inside of it. It's not going to get inside of it, but at least rinsing it off, you should certainly have to do.
Is there a change for something like karif or melicha?
So we assume that this chumrah, but we'll see in a second why it's such a chumrah, we assume that it does not extend to other. I mean, if you have a fleshik onion or something like that, that's not what our concerns are about. Now, how you get a fleshik onion, we'll have to... It's in the future. Right now, we're going to just be dealing with actual meat and actual cheese. No difference for now. Right? Because the assumption that the Gemara seems to be working with is that they are, again, we're only concerned about the surface. Is it possible for that? That would be the equivalent of not being sewing, but sewing potentially. That's not our question for right now. Oh. So that's what the Gemara. That's what the Mishnah says. So you need to rinse it off. So how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So it says the Shulchan Aruch in Sadi Aleph number 21 over here. Basar ugvina shenagu zebuzeh. If you have meat and you have cheese that touch one another, mutarim, they're permitted. But you have to rinse off the place where they touched. You could still put them close together in one handkerchief. We're not concerned lest they touch each other. Why not? Why aren't we concerned they can touch each other? Because they're cold. But you're not allowed to eat them together if they're cold. Right, that's what we just said, right? You have to rinse it off. So the answer is what we've been saying now, that this already reaches the point of what we would call a gezeira legzeira, right? Right? If we say that you can't put them together because maybe they'll touch each other, okay, and if they touch each other, what's the problem? You can just rinse them off. Oh, but maybe you'll forget to rinse them. Okay. That's already, again, as much as we've been adding layers on and saying that we're not concerned with adding layer on top of layer, Azevite. This was enough that Chazal said we don't have to be this concerned that you're gonna put them together, and they're gonna touch, and you're gonna forget to rinse them off, and then you're gonna come to eat them together. That far, Chazal finally gave us a little bit of a break, and said that you do not have to be concerned.
Together, the chatchila, not the evidence.
Correct. Right. You can put them together. Again, it does not sound like l'chatchila you should put them touching each other in a way that they're going to need to get washed off. But you can put them together in a way that you don't have to assume that they're going to touch each other. And then if they do touch each other, all you have to do is rinse them off. All you have to do is rinse them off.
Between the two in the fridge, and the paper towel gets wet, and it melts away.
We will... Yeah. So... I thought he talks out of here. 1 second. If not, we'll jump ahead. 1 second. What was I looking at earlier today? I thought I was looking at this. Okay, so we'll talk about it not from here because again, I thought it was here. It's really strange. Okay, so then we'll deal with it on our own. I'm a little confused now, but that's okay. So what's the halacha when it comes to, let's say, putting things into the refrigerator, right? So are you allowed to put them? Oh, I know where he talks about this. 1 second. Fine, okay, he does it in a different order. So we will get there. I'm not hallucinating in terms of what I looked at earlier today. We're going to see another halacha first, and then we'll come back to this. Now, obviously, just if it's something which can't be rinsed off, then you have a problem, right? Because the assumption is that we're not assuming that when it touched, nothing got onto one another. There certainly is something which came off of the piece of cheese onto the piece of meat, or vice versa. This, that you're allowed to clean it off. But if it's something which, you know, if you rinse it off, let's say a piece of bread.
Meatballs and sauce.
Yeah, or something liquidy where it's going to be more difficult, then obviously you have a problem. If there is a way to get it off without rinsing it off, you can maybe cut it off. So then that would work also. The point is that b'chazal we're concerned that you shouldn't eat them together. If you can figure out however you want to get it off, you can get it off. Good? Oh. So now says the previous Mishnah, but the order that he decided to go in over here. Good. Let's see what he says over here, number 22. Oh. Now that we're talking about how close you can put meat and milk together, we're going to get up to the very, very practical question of eating milchiks and fleishiks on the same table. Milchiks and fleishiks on the same table. If you're in a house similar to mine where no two people can manage to eat the same thing for dinner any night, this question comes up. Okay, good. Not the only one. I'll tell my wife later. It's not just us. This question can come up kimat every night. Not every night. What is the issue here? So says the Mishnah in number 22 over here. Kol Abasis, the opening Mishnah in the 8th Perek. We said already, Kol Abasar Aslavasha B'cholav, you're not allowed to cook meat with milk. Chutz Mibasar Dagim B'chagavim. But fish and locusts, those of you that's not considered to be basar, and therefore you're allowed to do it. That's not the part which is important for us. V'asar lahalos imagvin al hashulchan. You are not allowed to put it together on the table. You're not allowed to put meat together on the table with cheese. Chutzi basar dagim v'chagavim. Except again for fish and the locust, because it's not meat. But if you have meat and you have cheese, you cannot put them together on the same table. Ha'of, if it's chicken, then olay magvin al shulchan ve'eino ne'achol. Divrei Beisham. Beishamai says, chicken and cheese you can put on the same table. You just can't eat them together. Why? Why? He's less concerned because since it's only midrabanan, Beishamai is not as concerned. U'beisilarim lo olav lo ne'achol. No. We're going to, again, not arguing about whether it's derabanan or not. But again, in terms of how careful do we have to be, as we've seen almost consistently, last week we had a little bit of an inconsistency, but we basically treat meat and chicken the same, even though chicken is only derabanan. So Beis Hillel argues and says you can't put it on the, you can, not only can you not eat it, but you can't put it on the same table either. Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says, Zumi kule Beis Shammai mnichumrei Beis Hillel. This is one of the examples where Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel. Okay, the Gemara talks about why Rabbi Yossi had to tell us that. We could have figured that out on our own, but that's not our discussion for the moment. Okay, so Beis Shammai is more makeup, but it's important for us because who do we paskin like? Beis Hillel, which means you're not going to be allowed to put chicken or meat on the table together with cheese. Be'eze shulchan amru. What table are we talking about? Answers the Mishnah. Again, you don't often find questions in Mishnah. Yes, occasionally you do. B'shulchan she'ochel alav. Aval b'shulchan she'soder alav esatavshel nosen zeh b'tzad zeh ve'eino choshesh. We're only talking about the eating table. We're not talking about the preparation table. What do we call the preparation table? The countertop. The countertop. So you can have, according to the Mishnah reads, you can have meat and cheese out on the count. Again, we're not, our concern here does not seem to be the things touching each other. So again, assuming they're not touching each other, they can be on the counter at the same time, but they cannot be on the table. They cannot be on the table at the same time. What's the difference between the countertop and the
it's easier to make a mistake at the table.
Oh, it's easier to make a mistake.
But also, we're in tables, small tables, like today where we have a family around the table and you can have somebody or somebody there. So you're talking a lot smaller eating place.
Yeah. But again, the Mishnah does not seem to be distinguishing based on size, so it would be hard to say that, you know, what size table would be better. But it would seem to be that the idea is that what's our concern? Why can't we, what? You're going to eat them together. And if you're going to eat them together, it's only Drabbanan. Right? So the Gemara discusses it. So there are two different approaches in the Rishonim. But the Gemara basically says, but you may also come to cook them together, which would be a Doraisa. Now, why the Gemara exactly goes,
it seems like if it's already on the eating table, it's already cooked.
Yeah.
If it's on a prep table, you could easily cook.
Correct. Correct.
What?
Yes, exactly. So that is a difficulty with the in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses that. One second. The Gemara asks, the Gemara says that if we allow you to put oaf and gvin on the table, this is not, I don't think he quotes this, then you're going to come to put meat on. Rav Yosef, Rav Sheish just asks, sof, sonin bit sonin ho. The same question that the Gemara asked that we quoted earlier by the putting them together in the same, wrapping them together, but it's only cold. What are we worried about? It's only cold. Amar Abaye, gzera shemiyala be'ofas roseach. Maybe you're going to put it into a hot plate. The Gemara says, so cliche to you, but hot plate's only cliche. Cliche doesn't cook. Cliche in Mavajal, Xer Shemiyala, Be'ofas Risha. Maybe you're going to put it directly, maybe you're going to put it into the pot. How exactly you understand that line is a machlokas in the Rishonim. But it seems to me that the way the Gemara seems to be understanding it is that when you are in eating mode, we're much more concerned that you're going to come and lose track and potentially eat the wrong thing. When you're in cooking mode, even though you're right, you're putting things into the pot, so you might think that would happen. People are noshing much more in the kitchen when they're walking through. They're noshing with less meticulousness than cooking. When you're cooking, you're paying attention to what goes here, what goes there. Except for the person every single day who texts me that they mixed up the.
The opposite. If you're cooking, you're going to taste this, you're going to taste that.
Okay, so you could be machmir on the cooking also. But that's what Moshe was saying before. Right, but either way, it seems to be that the Gemara, again, it's clear that maybe there were different types of tables, but again, we're going to discuss in a second multiple people eating at the table. So there was some table that was large enough to have multiple people. But the Gemara, though, seems to be saying is that, and again, they also, their whole setup with the stovetop, I don't think their stovetop wasn't in the middle of their countertop the way we have them, that we're just, throwing things one to the other. The stove was somewhere on the side, and they probably had to bring things back and forth. But that's what the Gemara seems to be saying, is that the Gemara's concern is that when it comes to eating, people tend to be a little bit more hefker. Maybe you've seen somebody in your house, wander back and forth to the kitchen. Every time they're wandering through, pick up something, maybe it's you, pick up something from that's out on the counter. When it comes to the cooking, apparently we're a bit more careful. Oh. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Peches, the number 23 over here. Afilu basar chayav of, even basar chayav of. Why is that a chiddush of basar chayav of that it's even? Because those are only midrabanan. Only midrabanan. Still, asr la'alos al-shulchan she'ocha lov gvina. You cannot put on the same table as the cheese. Shulayovo la'ochlam yachad. Lest you come to eat them together. If you eat them together, it's only derabanan. Okay, that's part of our broader derabanan, right? There's one large derabanan that we don't want you eating them together, lest you come to cook them. But if it's your prep table, then it is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Says the Shach, how far do we take this? Is this unique to basar v'chalav, or would it apply to other items that aren't kosher? Says the Shach, v'nir davka basar asal alas al shulchan shulchan chalav. It's specifically basar chalav mishum d'lo b'dili in shiminei, because you're not used to separating from them. You can always eat meat. You can always eat the cheese. It's all kosher separately. And now there's this chiddush that you put them together. It's going to be asar. But if you have treif meat, why do you have treif meat? Well, let's assume you're eating with a co-worker. You're eating with somebody else, and they're not eating something which is kosher. The food courts, yeah. Correct. Yeah. So then you are going to that's not going to be a problem. Why? Because again, if our concern is that you're going to eat it, you see the arches from the McDonald's, you're not touching it. It doesn't matter how close it is to you. You are, by nature, you've programmed yourself to be separate from it. And therefore, he says, there is an application to it. If you have something which looks like the kosher version but happens to not be kosher, and therefore it's not as obvious, that would be problematic. So if you happen... What?
Cheeseburger.
Well, cheeseburger you might be able to see at least stands out, but you have a loaf of bread that happens to not be... or a piece of meat that was taken that's raw. I mean, I can eat a raw piece of meat. Whatever.
Two hamburgers.
Yeah, right over. Trafe hamburger, right? That's next to each other. This isser would apply because we do assume that you tend to eat from other things that are on the table, as long as there are things that you have no reason to be separating yourself from. cheese and meat, if they're both kosher, you have no reason to separate yourself from. And even non-kosher food, if it's not obvious that it's not kosher, you're not going to automatically be separate. Oh. If that's the case, says the next Mishnah, number 25. So two people who are guests in an inn are allowed to eat at the same table. One eats basar, one eats gvina, and we are not concerned. How does this follow from our Mishnah? Because what do we just say? We say we're afraid on the shulchan of what you're eating, what you're eating from. You're going to come to eat from this and that. If there's another guest in the inn who you don't know, you're hopefully not going to take his food. And therefore, if it's somebody that you know, so that's going to be problematic. Because even though, you know, you have your basar and I have, you have your hamburger and I have my pizza, but, you know, we're friends. You're not going to mind that I pick something out of your food. But if it's somebody that you don't know, then that would be permitted. Oh. And that's what the Gemara elaborates on, that it must be that we're talking in the Mishnah specifically when we're talking about the Achsanayin, is talking about people that do not know each other. Right? It must be they don't know each other. But, you know, I see this all the time, you know, in the YU cafeteria, you know, people are like walking by, and like as they're talking to you to say hello, they're like, you know, eating french fries off your plate, so again, when you're with people that you know, it's a little more Hamish, and you tend to eat other people's food. So Tanya, you have two people, one's coming from the north, one's coming from the south, completely different directions, nothing to do with each other. So this guy can come to this piece of meat. So this guy can come to this cheese. And they can eat together, nothing to worry about. They only ushered it in one tfisa. I was going to ask what exactly that means. It means together. What is tficha achas? It has to be that if they are close together that you could grab the food from one another, then that would be problematic. Based on this, Tosfos has the following chiddush. If the concern, what is our concern? Our concern is that you're going to eat from the other person. Why are you going? We're not dealing with rishayim. Right. If you realize that you're eating flesh, the other person's eating milk, you're not going to do it. But what are you concerned about? When Jews get into eating mode, they're in eating mode, and nothing's going to stop them. So you need a reminder. That's the chiddush of Tosfos in number 27. V'yemesh dover mafsik lohave kein tvisachas. It's not like one eating if you have some sort of hefsek, some sort of separation. Something which is raised in between them, right? If it's something which is too flat, you're not going to see it, and it's not going to accomplish anything. It has to have something with a little bit of height. Therefore, you put some bread or a pitcher or some other vessel between them. So Tosos suggests two possibilities to permit eating at one table, one meat and one cheese. The first is some sort of reminder. It has to be something that you're going to see. The pashtus is, and again, it's a little bit difficult, what bread does he mean? If it's a bread, if they're both going to be eating from the same bread, you probably haven't accomplished anything. So most poskim assume he means a loaf of bread that you're not eating from. Meaning, if you're going to have, as your heker, in between, your reminder, something which you're going to use as part of the meal, in about 40 seconds, it's not going to be there anymore. If you put the bottle of ketchup, and then this guy's going to get... And the next thing you know, the ketchup's over there. So the simple understanding, again, though the lechem's not the best example, but the kankan, other things might be empty pitchers. If you take an empty vessel and put it in the middle, so then it will stay there and it will serve its purpose. The second one is if you're on a different tablecloth. if you're on a different tablecloth. Now, we'll talk at some point in general about what the purpose of tablecloths are. If you need milchik and fleshik tablecloths and kashering tablecloth, all types of questions about tablecloths that I receive. So, Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to talking more details about tablecloths. But for right now, the tablecloth here is a functional tablecloth. Meaning, it doesn't have to be, it could be, in theory, you know, two paper towels.
Placemats.
So placemats is not so simple. Why are placemats not so simple? So it depends if you usually use placemats or not. If you usually use placemats, then having on two different placemats is not going to be any difference. The point is that...
What different than two different tablecloths? If you usually eat on a tablecloth, it's the same thing.
Oh, if you usually eat on one tablecloth, and now you put out two tablecloths, that's very different.
So if you usually,
right? If you take my house, for example. Again, maybe nobody will eat in my house after this. But we only cover the table for fleshiks, and we don't cover the table at all for milchiks. So in such a case, I believe if you put down the tablecloth on half of the table and have the fleshiks on that half and the other half is uncovered, I think that's the equivalent of Tosfos is two tablecloths. The point is that you're doing something which is different. If you have very different looking placemats, and you have fleshik and milchik, that should in theory work as well. But the point is that it has to be something which is different than what you are normally going to do.
But the placement doesn't help you with the gavoa. It only helps you.
Right. The point is that when you're looking down, if you feel like you're at a different table, then I think placemats and tablecloths do have that effect. You know, when you're headed down and you see that it's almost like the person's at a different table. Because again, if it was a different table, even though it was close together, that would be mutter. Right? Again, we're not dealing with people who want to do this. We're just trying to deal with some sort of preventative measures that Chazal put in place. Oh. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way as well. We're just gonna in the first part of Shulchan Aruch he says the same thing. The Ramah mentions what we just said. V'davka shein ochlim, it's in the middle of the page. V'davka shein ochlim mina pas hamunach b'neim laheker. Obviously, you can't be eating from the bread. Then it's part of the meal. It's a food. It's not a hecker. Because you're always going to have it. Anything you're going to have anyway on the table isn't going to help. That is a chiddush that the Rama says, and you have to kind of know yourself. The Rama says, if you normally do not use a pitcher, and now you use a pitcher, then even if you're using the pitcher to drink from, that would still satisfy the need for hecker because it's still different, even though you are using it. But bread is never a distinction, even for the people that never eat bread, right? By definition, bread is considered to be a meal food. Now, again, if you're going to end up taking the pitcher, say, "Oh, I can't see you," and put the pitcher over there, then it's not accomplishing anything. But assuming that you will really leave it there, even though you're using the pitcher, that would be sufficient. That was, yes.
What if there was a salad in the middle of you were both sharing that salad?
Oh, so that would. Well, again, is your question in terms of being a hecker or in terms of do you have a meat and milk problem? Ah, so that will good, right? If you're, can you have shared food between the two? So that we will likely not get to. Maybe we'll get to it today. We'll see. That might have to do a little bit with the question of leftovers, which are things that were on the table for one. How concerned are we that you are going to do that? If you take the salad and you put the salad, let's say on the island or on the counter, and everybody was going to go separately with a clean plate and take it, even though one is eating milk, one is eating fleshiks, that's for sure fine. The question becomes, and again, once you're dealing with something which is open, how concerned do we need to be that something gets in it from the opposite side, right? Things that are like on the Shabbos table, people are passing the meat down and the chicken and then whatever, then even the things that were sitting there open, we have a chashash, we have a concern that maybe something slipped into it from the fleshik stuff. We'll maybe get there today. If not, we'll get there. What?
Maybe it would be cold anyway.
No, but if it cold doesn't matter if we have a piece, meaning if a small piece of chicken falls in, you don't see it. Doesn't matter if it's cold, because you're going to end up eating it together. Good. So says the... That's the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Taz. Oh, we saw that already. Let's skip that. Basically, Tshuva Edo has a Chiddush. What if you have a very long table, right? Everybody was focusing on the fact that Chazal's tables were pretty small. It says in Basically Tshuva, the Kosav Abach, B'Shem Reb Shlomo Luria, the B'yoshim Rechokim Zemizeh Bechtei Shein Yochal Echol Ipshal Yodol Lechol Mimashi Yochal Chavero Shari L'Divrei Hakol B'Low Akeira. If you have it, let's say like this. If I'm sitting over here, Stephen's sitting over there, and he's eating fleishik, and I'm eating milk, I can't possibly. It's going to require effort for me to go and eat from his food. That's going to be mutter, even without a hecker. So that's a potential solution sometimes at home also. If you have, again, not so many people around, and you have opposite sides of the table, that would work as well. Because, again, we're dealing with accidental eating. The people that want to do it on purpose, that's not going to be, is not our concern. Rabbi Akiva Eger, though, says, well, what if I have somebody who I put in charge to watch over me and make sure I'm not going to do it? A shomer? We use shomer in other contexts. It comes up most probably when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, right? If you're not going to light Neiros Chanukah on time and you put a shomer to make sure that you don't forget to light Neiros Chanukah so that you can eat at the family Chanukah party. There are other times in halacha when a shomer comes up. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, does not work. Does not work. Lo mahani. It's not going to work. Why doesn't it work? Why not? Because you have to watch constantly, right? To remind you to light Hanukkah candles, I have to remember one thing. But I have to have my eyes glued on you to make sure you're not going to eat. If you don't, no, just on a practical level. I mean, if we're relying on this guy to be the one that's going to interrupt you when you're making a mistake and you're accidentally taking, you know, the fleishig, the French fry that was fried with the schnitzel, and it's really fleishigs. That's shomer is not going to be sufficient. Not going to be sufficient. Oh. What about one person eating dairy at a table with meat on the table? So this is an interesting.
Rabbi Akiva Eger gives validity to what you do. You said you have one gift.
Okay, good. Thank you. I feel much better now. Everybody can welcome to eat at my house again. Me and Rabbi Akiva Eger. Okay, good. Right, that again. And again, but it's misvara, right? As I say, you don't have to hear Rabbi Akiva Eger to come up with this one, right? If the point is that it should be a separation, then if one's on the table and one's on the and one is on the tablecloth, that should be sufficient. Here he says something interesting. Right, what's the halacha of a person wishes to eat dairy alone, but there is also meat on the table, or vice versa? Oh. So he says, according to the Chachmas Adam, this is permitted, as the concern that one may eat from the food of another is not relevant here. However, the Hafla forbids eating dairy here and explains that it's permitted where two people do not know each other, since the other will remind him not to do so if he wishes to eat his food. But here there is no one else who will remind him not to consume the meat at the same time as the dairy. I don't know. It seems to be that it makes a lot more sense to say that it should be usser. Right, that it's not that the Gemara is not limited to a case of two people, but if it's there and the food is there, why should it not be usher?
If you take a brisket out of the oven, put it on the side of the kitchen table, and you sit down and have a slice of pizza.
Right. Again, the svara seems to be if the other person not meaning. It kind of like picture like Arab Shabbos, right? You want to sit down and eat something at the table, and they started, you know, stacking up on the other side of the table. You know, the Shabbos foods, you know, as it comes out of the oven on the racks or things like that. So again, if somebody else was eating from it, so then that food is sort of in what we would call eating mode. It's people are eating from it already. So then there's more of a chashash. If it's just sitting there in the pan, I'm not going to go ahead and do it. That's again, I guess, what the svara, what the Chacham Hasadim is saying, and the haflah is not as certain. I don't know if the food is there and it's.
Instead of the area where you have one person with dairy and meat, what about going back to the pairing area?
Yeah.
one person preparing might meat and takes a taste of something as he's preparing. Can he take a taste if he's got meat and dairy at the
I think so. I don't think that turns it into a place of eating. You just have to be careful. Again, we're dealing with the gzeros. We're not dealing with the isurim per se.
According to that line, the theory, if you have hard cheese on the counter with the meat, unless you move the hard cheese, don't you have residue on your fingers now? You go back to the
Yeah, that's definitely true. That gets a little bit one of the halachas I mentioned last time about between the milk and the cheese and the meat, you have to wash your hands. That would definitely be true. Yeah, if you touched it, that's certainly going to be require some sort of cleaning. Absolutely. We're assuming that you're not moving it, but it's just going to be present. We have to be concerned that you're going to start getting involved in it.
But if one person's at the table with his meat and dairy, why don't we have the same idea about the sign? Why is the sign not good enough here?
Oh, that might be good enough.
Oh, okay.
That would be good. The question is, do you even need that? The Chachmas Adam seems to be saying you wouldn't even need that, which is a bit of a chiddush.
Maybe there's a social aspect of two people eating together.
I think that's what the Chachmas Adam is trying to say. Right. When both people are sort of eating, then you'll stack. When it's out there, but again, the Hafla disagrees.
Oh. The Prima got him so leaden on all this.
One second. let's look at the Prima God. Then jump the gun a little bit. Says the Prima Gunda, what about the following? What if I ate my fish, I'm done. Now, can I sit at a table with dairy at it, knowing that I'm within my 6 hours? I'm not eating fleishiks right now. I'm done. Right? I had fleishiks for dinner, now I'm going to come home, and I want to sit around the table and there's cheese on the table. Do I have to be concerned that, and especially if other people are eating their cheese, maybe I shouldn't be able to sit there, because if I eat the cheese, then I violated eating cheese within the 6 hours.
Did he bench?
What?
Did you bench?
Let's assume you benched. Even if you benched, again. Says, what? So, Kosta B'Shibes Yaakov says, Demisha Chabazer Shetzarach L'Shao Sheshos Lo Yeshev Yosef Meshach Gvina Shem Yoshilo. He is concerned. V'lo Ra'is Nizharim B'Zeh. But the Premier God disagrees. Gam Habik Zera L'Gzera Kuli Hailo Gazrin. At a certain point, and again, I think that's part of what they're arguing about, is where do you call it a Gzera L'Gzera? Right? Where do you assume that, now it's too far? If I eat it together, I'm only violating the extension of the eating together because they're going to be in my mouth at the same time. I'm running out of time. I just want to finish off with the last point that he makes over here. Is what about putting them in the same, putting them into one container? Putting meat and milk. So you want to put meat and cheese into the same container? You're going to be allowed to. You are allowed to do it. Now, what are we talking about? Is it covered? Is it not covered? Are they in? So. You're not concerned they're going to touch one another. Meaning, the Taz is saying, we're talking about a situation. Let's say you have a cooler. Now you're going on vacation. So I have a small little cooler. Can I put meat and milk in the same cooler? The answer is yes. Why? Because it's assumed that you're going to be careful to make sure that they don't come to mix, that everything is wrapped up well. V'yesh machmir in l'chatchil, says the Ramah. You should try to be careful. Huh? Says the Shach Davka b'megulah. If they're not covered, if they're uncovered, if you try sticking your meatballs uncovered in your cooler and your cheese uncovered in your cooler, then when you hit a bump, you will have a mixture of basar and chalav. That you cannot do l'chatchila because the chance of mixing in. But stam to put things in together, the same thing is going to be okay. Based on this, we'll finish off with this. What do you about the refrigerator? What about putting things in the refrigerator? So some are very, very careful. I once got yelled at by putting a package of deli that was closed in the cheese drawer with cheeses that were closed. Apparently that is some sort of violation of halakha. I'm not sure what halacha. Okay, but assuming that those things were open, okay, then it's another level, but it's probably still okay. What is concerning and where we probably need to be careful in the refrigerator is, let's say you have a bunch of, you know, you're making lasagna for Motzei Shabbos and you have your Shabbos leftovers and everything is in the 9x13s with the foil on it, right? And you stack those up. there are times when things can drip, right? That's not a real seal. I wouldn't call it Megula necessarily. It's not completely open. But there, we know from experience taking them out that there's sometimes schmutz and other things like that. That's probably where this halach applies, and one should be careful. When you're stacking the pans that aren't really, really closed well, so there you probably shouldn't. But if you have one of those Pyrexes with that tight cover on it, so it doesn't matter if you stack a thing of chicken on top of it, as long as it's all cold. But a thing of chicken on top of this, it doesn't make a difference. As long as everything is closed, that seems to be the halacha. But the concern would be, again, in their fridge, when you have things that can potentially drip, that is where one should be careful, I think. Okay, we will, Mirtz Hashem.